Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. Take It From The Iron Woman, we only have special guests, and today we have Carol with us. Thank you so much, Carol. This is interesting to hear from your story as a journalist, as a photographer, as a PT, and now we talk about sports. Thank you so much for having us and learning with you. What about sports? I mean, there's other things. We are deeply connected, the podcast, the sport, it seems like the entrepreneurship. Take us on a journey on your sports career.
Well, oh, I love the sound of that. My sports career. I don't know if it was a career. I was very, from the time I can remember, very athletic, loved sports. I had a brother. I was always better at sports than him. It was just something that was always in my DNA, although my mother was not an athlete at all. I just always was considered a tomboy and just loved every single sport, played every sport that I ever could. And then my one mistake about sports is that I did not, well, it wasn't a mistake. I went to a very small school in New York City. It was a girls' school, not known for their sports. And I was like the best in every sport. But I still knew that the reason I was the best was because it was a very small school in New York City. And so when I went to college, it was very odd because I actually did go to the basketball court there and started to shoot hoops and wondered, like, I had no idea how one gets on a team. And I thought, well, I'm probably not good enough to be on the basketball team in college. But boy, do I wish I was, or maybe I am. I don't know. So I remember the coach came by once and said, "Who are you?" And I think he even said, "Why don't you come by and try out for," like, there was junior varsity. But I was way too afraid. And that was interesting because my 4 years in college, I did not play an organized sport. And that really was a shock to my system. And instead, I ended up being in the dark room a lot, doing a lot of photography, which took up a lot of that athletic, but it was a very strange feeling for me. I did play club rugby and I did try out for the tennis team, but I didn't make it. But it's a very visceral feeling not playing sports. And then when I was an adult and living in Seattle, working at the television station there, I started to play adult soccer and co-ed soccer. It's a way to meet people. Now, I never played soccer. We didn't have a soccer team in high school. I learned and I practiced and I had a lot of fun and I met a bunch of Irish women that were so much fun and I got a whole social life just from that. Soccer really helped me and I took that with me to New Mexico as well. And then swimming, I got onto a master's swim team when I was in New Mexico and that I was introduced to that. Then now in New York, I've been on a master's swim team for over 20 years. Sports has always been in my life. I run, I bike everywhere that I can. And I've gone on some fundraiser bicycle trips.
Okay. We have to stop here because I think you're so modest. You don't mention, I see from your biography, you did the AIDS ride from Boston to New York. And there was something else. Ashland, Oregon to Portland to raise money for the American Lung Association. Tell us about that. And first of all, congratulations. And I know when you do the Boston to New York, you don't sleep in a 5-star hotel.
No.
You sleep in a tent. So listeners, yes, be careful what you hear now from the pro. Okay, Carol, tell us.
Yeah, those were the days. It's so interesting to think that AIDS was such a big social issue. And now we don't talk about it. But those two events had something in common. I had to raise money for both of them, but I didn't have to plan where I was going or where I was sleeping because the event was organized already. It didn't cost me very little money to actually, I have to say, I was kind of brilliant in that way. I was able to do these amazing experiences without paying money and without planning, but I raised money. it was like a win-win-win. And I think my motivation was that I wanted to do these adventures. And of course, they were also for good causes. That trip, I remember, from Boston to New York was just incredible. I actually got very sick. I had a very, very bad cold. It just started that night before doing this. And that's a big memory for me because I'm like, I can't believe this. This is what bad luck. I'm going to start this ride. What am I going to do? I'm sick. And as I rode, I felt better and better and better. And I really willed myself to get better. And I was shocked that I thought for sure I would get worse, but I actually felt better. And the cold dissipated as I went. Mm-hmm. And yes, we slept in tents on fields. There were people there that were from all walks of life, and the energy, the biking through, it was an incredible experience. And I don't remember the difficulty part of it. But I do have to say there is a connection here between physical therapy and the ride from Ashland to Portland, in that I did not prepare for it at all. And there are a lot of mountains. My legs did cramp up, and they did have massage people at different places. I was very, dependent or grateful for those massage tents. Mm-hmm. And I would go afterwards. I was like another person. I was like completely fine. And that's my first memory of realizing the power of being touched in a certain way that can make muscles that were so in pain, so much in pain and so much in spasm, completely disappear. It was like a miracle to me. And I thought, this is really interesting. This is something maybe I should consider doing because it's just like magic. And and that's also what's spurred me a little bit, I think, to study massage and soft tissue work. And that's a lot of what I did as a physical therapist.
I just want to ask a question. Like sometimes when I run many miles, I don't like when people, like after a marathon, let's say the first day after, I don't like anybody touching me because the muscle hurts so much. But you say they can make it go away. What is your thought on that? Is it better to go the first day, the second day? I always feel like, okay, if the marathon is on Sunday, by Wednesday, I would go for a massage, but before that, I would be in so much pain.
Yeah, no, that's a very interesting question because it's very clear to me the difference between those two. Now, I did the New York Marathon in 1996, and I remember how I felt. And I remember my decision was to, after the marathon, to go swimming. I wasn't even thinking about getting a massage. Yeah, I just wanted, I knew swimming would help with the lactic acid and the soreness. And then I just dealt with the soreness after that. With the biking, though, since I had another 5 days, I really felt like I had no choice but to get, I don't want to say treated, but get worked on because I could barely walk and I had to get on my bicycle.
Okay, so that makes sense.
It was a very different, like you do the marathon and it's done. And then you can just deal with in an event like that, that's multiple days. It was more of I need to be able to continue.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, in a way, but then you have to endure. I mean, I can only understand how much pain you must have and that it is a release. And we see the top athletes. When we look at, my idol is Daniela Ryf, the super duper Iron Woman. She has done 5 Kona. So she has won 4 or 5 times in Kona. And the other person that I interviewed, she does 10 Ironman races in 10 days. So every single day she does an Ironman. And when I interviewed her, I said to her, it's like people go to work from 9 to 5 and you do an Ironman from 9 to 5. She also says she has a physical therapist with her who checked because she had some issues with the running, I think with the knee, and the physical therapist came to check on her.
Yeah, that sounds, I mean, extraordinary that she obviously clearly is extraordinary and her body is extraordinary because for me, for example, I couldn't even get my body to train for the second marathon. My body can't do it. That's pretty extraordinary. But I think a lot of these elite athletes do have very good people on their side, whether they're massage or other types of manual workers. It's absolutely, I think, necessary. And it can, you know, revitalize and bring you much faster recovery.
And tell us about your triathlon races.
Well, there's not much to tell that. I've done a few more. It was more time consuming than I thought. So it's interesting because I swim, I bike, and I run. And so I should be a triathlete. I'm not because I think just the logistics of going to these races didn't fit into my schedule, so to speak. finally, when I did, I always had a great time. I enjoyed it very, very much. And I do wish I could do more of them. And if a friend said, let's train for such and such a triathlon, I would do it in a second. For me, it was almost like just an experience that wasn't something that I was doing consistently, but anytime I had that opportunity, I would take it.
And what is next for you?
I don't know. Now I'm thinking of shoot for the stars and do the Ironman. I have to do a shout out to, and I wish I remembered his name, but on the ESPY Awards, 20-something-year-old
who has a Down syndrome with the Ironman. Yeah. And he's trying to do Kona in a few weeks.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Because it was a Ironman in another city. I forget what city.
In Florida. He was in Florida. I think he didn't make the cutoff, but obviously he's still finished. And he's in training for Kona.
Okay. That's fascinating. That story inspired me. There's just so much to that story that just resonates for me on so many levels. You know, basically, if you put your mind to anything, you can make it happen. And just the fact that I think I can't do it makes me want to do it. But I just, the hardest thing about it is to find the time, the people to do it with. Because I know when I trained for the marathon, I had a running partner, Nicole, and I couldn't have done it without her, just the discipline and the camaraderie.
You bring up a very good point, because a lot of my friends say, yeah, but you do everything alone. Yes, the event is you do it alone, except the marathon, 50,000 people are running with you. If you have a training partner, you show up. If you have an accountability partner, you don't say, today it's too much. You know the other person is waiting. That's important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let us know when you do the Ironman, we come and watch you. Well, I have to say, I've done the Ironman 6 years ago, and I'm amazed now that I was able to do it. It's all in the mind. As we know, 80% is all the mindset. I think if you're happy and healthy, you can do it, but it's a lot of commitment and sacrifices.
Sure.
What do you think would be a sacrifice you have to give up?
More on the sports topic, for one thing, time with my family. My son right now is a up and coming senior, and he is at a sports academy himself. He's a baseball player. He made the big decision in 10th grade that he wanted to go to this academy in Florida to really become as good as he thought he could become and see what happened. And so now we're in the thick of it, applying to colleges, and it's been very interesting. So I'm spending so much time with him right now. For sure, now would not be a good time, because I feel like my energies have to be going towards really being his advocate along with my husband, because it's just a lot of work. That's a whole nother subject. Athletics with getting into college, when we're not looking for some major scholarship, we're just looking for him to be happy at a school on a good baseball team where he would fit in. That's been a challenge. So for right now, I feel like every second is either my own work or being with him and my husband. And then I have an elderly mother who I try to make some time for as well. So it feels absolutely impossible, the thought of doing something else as major a commitment as training.
Maybe it's one step at a time, one day at a time. And with your wisdom shared, you interview people, you might interview people who have done it before. That might help you. And I think we also need the supporters alongside the road. Just be part of the crazy Ironman people. Might be something for today.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know anybody personally besides you that has done it.
I'm happy to help you train. Let's finish on that note. I'm happy to help you train. Thank you so much for all your insights. It's amazing that you follow your heart and you get to where you want to be. You have a podcast. Podcasting is the thing to do these days. And also that you can interview the interesting people. So it's full circle. Thank you so much, Carol.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
How cool was that to learn from her on the bike rides and the massages? If you finish the marathon, you're done. But if you are biking 5 days, it might take a little more out of you. Take it from the Iron Woman. We have episodes every Monday, every Wednesday. Don't miss out. Follow us on your preferred platform. There's something for everybody. It's about sports. It's about entrepreneurship. It's about cool people like you. And coaching is also available. Who doesn't want to work with the Iron Woman? Reach out, check in with me. Thank you so much for your support.